Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4! Hey, ho, let's go!
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Hidey ho, everybody.
No. You're not getting away with a hidey ho. Start on a Saturday. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Where do you get a hidey ho from?
It's a friendly. I'll tell you where I get a hidey ho from, my good friend. I get a hidey ho from Red and White Victory. It's Saturday noon, and already I have two games the bank.
Wow. He is
One's
up and about
Thursday.
Today.
The Dragons last night in a magnificent farewell performance. For Paul McGregor, super coach Paul McGregor, and there they were. So here I am. I'm feeling hide. I'll start again. Heidi ho, everybody. Lovely to have you.
Heidi ho, Tony.
MG, Emma Lawrence.
Partner, how are you?
How are you going, big man?
I'm fantastic. Yeah, look, great win last night by the Dragons. I know we're going to cover it off in a sec, but where's that Thornbeam boys for the last 8 weeks? They showed that when the grit, they can really do it. And Mary, good on you, mate. It couldn't happen to a better bloke, a send off like that.
That's the thing. The great thing about it wasn't it wasn't as just that, as if they turned up and threw the ball around and played that kind of footy. They played tough football. Mm. They had to defend over big periods of time against a good footy side who were a little bit under, I'd imagine. But still, Em, what's your week been like?
Busy week actually with work. Is that the footy on Thursday night for Triple M doing sideline for that that mighty performance from the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah.
So it's been a good week, but obviously the highlight of my week is coming in here and hanging out with the three of you.
What did you think of that game last night?
Yeah,
that second game.
Oh, I did watch the second game.
Yeah.
I know you're alluding to the fact that maybe I was sitting
through the bottom of a glass.
Sitting there. So Gerds seems
someone,
to think. This is Gerds' issue. So I'm sitting there watching the footy, Dragons
where
v Eagles.
Where does that start and end? That question.
And then I think it's fine if you're at home on your own to have some red wine on your own.
Red and white, the Dragons.
Gerds seems to think there's an issue if you're drinking on your own.
I don't have an issue with that.
I think there's no better way to drink.
Mm. Yeah.
On your own, just have your own party.
I think it's great that you enjoy your own
company. You seem to indicate I was a bit of a loser.
Well, I think, I think you might have overdone it because you can't remember the second half. But other than that, I think it was...
At some point, Ryan, we are going to ask you, Em, if you can just tell us what happened between certain minutes in the game. Okay?
60th and 70th minute
last
night.
Just to get your recall, see how things
67th
going.
Minute was around about that, was the controversial Reid Marnie no try, around about that.
Mm.
No, I watched the game.
I reckon it was later than that, but still.
Okay, look, I had a few glasses of red to myself.
Your life is going really well, though, isn't it?
It's really.
Well, you know what? We'll call you
look,
Terry Lamb.
She loves the bubble. She's taking the bubble to another level.
It's the first time. So 2 weeks ago, I moved into my new place. Mm-hmm. But it's the first time I've lived on my own.
Oh,
yeah. So I've either lived with my brother for a little while, lived with family. Mm.
And how
boyfriends,
are you, how are you enjoying the lonely?
This isn't therapy, darling. Like, I mean, you don't need to lay it out for us now. We're just
I'm trying to
a bit
explain the reason I had to drink on my own.
No,
it's because
Sparky.
I live on
she
my
does.
Own.
Back up, Sparky. I want to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, so let's get to the bottom of my issues.
How are you coping living by yourself? You enjoying the process?
Yes, it's been, to be honest, the first week I was out for dinner most nights. Friends saying, let's go celebrate.
Yeah.
But this week, there are one or two nights that I came home and I thought, had a long day at work and wanted to vent. And then I thought, there's no one here. I'm just on my own.
Wow.
So, that's where maybe, Gerds, you could have been checking up on me to just give me a call, see how I'm going.
Didn't you just get on social media and abuse people like everybody else does?
Yeah, I guess that's the way to do it, isn't it?
You can see what's going to happen in a month's time, don't you, boys? That Em's going to walk in on a Saturday and go, hi, I'm Emma Lawrence and I like a drink. Sit in the corner, darling, and join the Federation.
We have so much to get to. As we said, the Dragons over the Eels, 14 points to 12. As a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard, the Panthers, they just continue. They now, this is the great thing. We'll get to this game again shortly. 18-12 winners over. Again, I have to say, a very brave Warriors outfit. Ryan Girdle was quite disappointed this morning, MG, because of the fact that it's just another record of his that's disappeared. He was part of the team, I think, in 2003. They won 8 consecutive. They're now basically been
cast all you have aside. When you retire, Tony?
Yeah.
A record.
If you go through the tournament,
you have nothing left.
Yeah. Were you watching last night and part of
no,
you bitter and twisted?
No.
Yes, he was squirming. Yeah. If you go through the tape, every time we go close, go, tackle him.
Drop it. Miss it. Storm, too good for the Roosters. An injury ravaged Roosters, you'd have to say. Still, the Storm were light on troops as well. 24 points to 6. We'll get to that game as well. Should they be rushing Sonny Bill Williams straight into the side? Get your thoughts on that. We might even hear from Sonny Bill Williams. I think they put him up this morning at the Roosters. We'll speak with Tyson Frizzell from the Dragons. Appy Coruscant, who many people are saying has been the buy of the year. He'll also join us. It is a jam-packed show. That's all before Peter Sterling even arrives. You are listening to the Saturday Scrum, thanks to King G. Triple M, rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon is the Saturday Scrum. All thanks to King G, Mark Guy, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires, with you, the Dragons, 14-12 winners over the Eels. And as we said, of course, it was Paul McGregor's last game as coach during the week. It was decided that they would part ways. It's been something that had been talked about for quite some time now. He's had 7 years in control. And the results just haven't been there. So no real surprise. I guess the question going into the game was how would they send him off? They did it in style. And he spoke, Paul McGregor, after the game and had this to say.
Yeah, look, it was a nice way to finish my career with the club. And players are pretty emotional as well in there. And there was a lot of talk that they weren't a tight group and that they weren't playing for me. But that was just too far from the truth. And I think they displayed that tonight. You know, we had a little presentation in there. Cam presented me his jumper, which is probably one of the best presents I've ever got in my life from a person that I admire the way he plays the game and leads the club.
Paul McGregor there. The Cam here speaking of course, is the captain, Cameron McGuinness, who immediately the game was finished, came over. Paul McGregor watched the game from the sideline rather than up in the coach's box. And a big emotional hug from Cameron McGuinness. There was clearly some connection with him, and he's the one, of course, in the dressing room, then gave him his jersey.
Yeah, I thought that was quite telling. And over the last sort of 6 weeks, I think it was quite obvious the relationship they had as well. I mean, he's made him the club captain, but so they obviously had a special bond. But so many times we go to these midweek press conferences, or whether we're there or it's on Zoom, and players would say, look, the coaching thing, it's not up to me. It's, you know, in the hands of the board, that type of thing. But every single time, the passionate defence of Mary from Cam McGuinness, you could really tell what kind of bond they had. And I think that was so obvious last night, went straight over to Mary. I mean, all of the boys shook his hand or hugged him afterwards, but you could tell how much it meant to Cam McGuinness. But I just thought it was really telling as well. Even at the start of the game, the pre-match interview, Mary seemed like a different person. He seemed like there was this weight that was just lifted off his shoulders.
Yeah.
And potentially, I mean, might have got a nice little payout in the negotiations, but I just think he was, seemed to be just one of those, when you see a kid at the footy that's just so excited for the game to start, that's what he seemed like. So it was always going to be interesting. If they won, you could take it, is that offensive? Where was that all season? Finally, they're showing something.
Yep.
Or you could take it as how great they've sent Mary off.
But they've been building to that. I thought their last month of football has been, you know, fairly different to what they had showed at the start of, you know, the beginning of the restart after the COVID period. And I think McGuinness is obviously the sort of player that everyone loves to have in their team. And as a coach, I think, you know, he'd be a guy that you would, you know, you give leadership duties to. He's a guy that you can rely on a weekly basis. Whether or not Mary had the ability to connect with some of those younger guys coming through and whether he could get the best out of the, you know, the group holistically, I'm not too sure. And we'll probably, you know, we'll let someone else see if they can get the best out of those same bunch of guys for the back end of the season. But it was a really touching way for them to send him out. And I'm sure, you know, they all had their moments with their coach. Not everyone gets on with the coach, and I don't think that's to be always expected. But the coach always, you know, needs to get the best out of the group, and certainly did that last night.
There's been plenty of pressure for him on him, and it comes from, I guess, in every club has it, but certainly St George Illawarra, the fans are fairly insistent yeah. on getting what they want
yeah,
and,
they are.
And vocal about it as well. And it can, that can heap pressure on him. He also had his dad, Frank, is quite ill and is in hospital. So now he gets MG to burst that bubble, get out, live a bit of a life and certainly get involved with his dad at this time, which is important.
Yeah. All-round great story, really, last night. It was emotional watching Mary's press conference. It was emotional when he spoke about his dad, knowing too well what he's going through exactly at the moment. And I've got the liberty of being able to visit now sparingly, but it must be very frustrating for Mary, who hasn't seen his father in a long time. And now the first thing he said he wants to do is go and see his dad. And the stats on this game last night, very, very similar. Just the effort of St. George was a lot better than Parramatta's, which is a little bit worrying for Coach Arthur, because that's probably three or four games now Parramatta have stumbled and you know, the other games they've won by 2 or 4 points, but last night they were on the other end, and that was the old Parramatta we saw last night. That's Parramatta of yesteryear, and I think Brad Arthur would hope that they don't see that anytime soon again.
Kate Ellis, the bunker, it cops a roasting most weeks, but that's a try, isn't it, every time? Like this whole idea of looking so intimately to see if there's been a touch and then come off another opposition player before you gather it. He had that ball, and he planted it over the line.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
I thought they were both fine. His and Marnie's.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought they were both fine. But I would have been happy I was happy with them both, not to be awarded. If you're going to do one, you've got to do the other, I thought last night.
And Marnie's was sent up as a try, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So I don't think
there was enough evidence
overturn that decision. But I mean, let's not be negative Nancy's, hey?
Let's relive the moment that Michaela Ravalawa took the ball behind his own try line.
Oh, that was and the old Dragons.
Well, you wouldn't have been watching at that stage, Tony. You would have been probably in another room.
I was watching just one eye around the corner most of that game. Yeah. Terrifying. But that was great. And then throws the ball, just phenomenal. They got away with it. What will happen now? So Dean Young, we know, has been... He becomes the fourth interim coach in the Dally M interim coach of the year nominations. He goes through there. Will they, do you think, or should they, MG, just say, okay, you've got this job, or who would you be looking for? Shane Flanagan is there in the background, but is at the moment not allowed to coach until the end of next season.
Yeah, with all these rule bendings and subtle changes to let players back playing and the loan system, it's a pretty weird year. And I think if we look at what Flanagan is still barred from, which is contacting players when he wasn't supposed to. I don't think it's the crime of the century. I would have him back. I'd bend the rules and let him take the realm. I think that Dean Young would be a great assistant to him. He's already working with him now at the Dragons. And the fact that Mary, through the week, came out and said that he was a part of a selection panel every time he had to pick his team, well, that's kind of driving a car without having the steering wheel in your hands, isn't it? You haven't got total autonomy over what you want to pick. So it was time to go for Mary, and I think the players all love Flanagan. What you hear in about the Dragons' dressing room, Dean Young, look, he's a stalwart of the club. His father's one of the best front rowers that ever played for the club and Australia. So, do you stay with the red and white V and go down that line, or do you go with Flanagan and let the NRL say, let's go, we're going to bend the rules a little bit for you, as like we did for Sonny Bill and like we have for Suwali and like we have for Ricky Latelli and like we have for Harry Grant and Momorowski. It's a strange year, so stranger things will happen.
Yeah, I get the sense that I think the Dragons will certainly ask that question, but I get the sense that there isn't a mood for that to happen from the NRL at this moment.
I think he should serve his time. I think there was a couple of indiscretions there that, you know, whether it was the salary cap issues or whether it was obviously, doing some things in and around when he was on suspension. So I think that should be served. And I'd be going really hard at Craig Fitzgibbon. Not this year. Obviously, I'd let him serve out his time there at the Roosters. And I know that he's come out and said he's got an arrangement there that he doesn't want to break. And I think everyone respects that in the game. But, he's a local junior, a guy that's come through their system, a guy that's been, and you spoke about it, you know, sometimes it's really good to get influence from other organisations. Now, that organisation, someone like the Roosters, and you can bring that experience. And Fitzy's been with Robbo now for what, 7 years? I don't know. I'm just making up a number, but it's been a substantial amount of time where they've had a fair amount of success. So why wouldn't you want to get a guy like that who's sort of at the right age, has the right maturity to be part of and lead an organisation, which I think, you know, has a decent roster. Has some, maybe Fitzy would be happy to keep a guy with Flanagan's experience underneath him for that other 12 months and build from there somewhere. But if I was the Dragons, I'd be going at Fitzy for sure.
Well, despite 100%. The fact that he came out and said, no, I've given my word to Trent Robinson and Nick Politis, you'd imagine if they are decent enough people, they would say, if this is such a great opportunity for him, they wouldn't want to stop. You'd think, surely, wouldn't stand in the way of him getting, because these jobs... Well, I was going to say they don't pop up all the time. I mean, four times this year.
Every couple of weeks
at the moment they pop up. But, I mean, you don't know. If you get a bit of stability over the next 2 years and there aren't too many coaching changes, potentially Craig Fitzgibbon will miss this opportunity. And I think, given the link to about being a junior there, it makes a lot of sense.
He lives in Austinmere,
so,
I think.
Yeah, he still lives down there.
I think it's a really perfect fit. So I'm surprised that he immediately dismissed it, not out of hand, but the idea that he's being loyal, which I absolutely admire. But you're right. Those above him, you would think, would go, you know what, this is the perfect fit. This is a great opportunity. If you want it, take it. So my question then is, does he actually want it? Or is he happy being the assistant in a great organisation? There's nothing wrong with that, if that's what you want. If you don't want to actually have that head coach job, well, that's fine.
We were talking last night before the game started, myself and Gerds, about the coaching merry-go-round and how that's the best job in the world. It's better than being a politician. You sign for 4 years, you coach for one, get paid out for three. So I want to be a coach. So honestly, if you're a board going forward, you've got to have stipulations in contracts of performance-based, you know, efforts from coaches as well. You've got to say to the coach, okay, well, we want to sign you for 3 years, but if, you know, after 12 months, if you're not in the top 10, or, you know, it depends where you're coming from, obviously, well, we're going to review it. That's got to be going forward. We've got to see more of that. We can't see a quarter of the coaches sacked in this COVID time when we're scraping money as it is, and now we're finding money to pay for coaches on top of coaches. It's a bad look for the game. And I think, if you know, the four coaches that have been sacked this year, but there's probably another one or two who might go before the season's end.
And not to mention the fact that they'll have less money from next year going forward with the football cap going to be reduced as well. So they can't just be throwing money here, there and everywhere.
Craig Fitzgibbon is going to do it. And we assume it's going to be Dean Young in the interim anyway. And Wayne Bennett's given him his stamp of approval for what that is worth. What about, you mentioned Todd Payton as a name, if he doesn't go Cowboys.
Well, his stocks are rising.
Don't you reckon?
I'm not sure where the Cowboys are at with that decision. I think it was sort of almost imminent last week. So I don't think it's too far away. Rumour has it that John Cartwright's, there's a shortlist up there now with Cardi and Toddy Payton on it. But after what he's been able to achieve there with the Warriors, I mean, regardless of what club you are, if you're looking for a young, dynamic coach who really seems to understand, the ebbs and flows of the NRL, because he's been put in some unbelievably trying circumstances this year with what he's had to deal with, losing his head coach and obviously some key players and being put in a bubble in Terrigal away from loved ones. I mean, there'd be a guy that I reckon's ready to go in Todd Payton 100%.
Yeah, and those Warriors played well for him again yesterday. Panthers, though, 18-12. We'll get to that game next. That win, of course, was tarnished by what happened on the sideline. Action towards Brent Naden, just disgusting. We'll get to that next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Great to be with you on a Saturday, Arvo. My hero of the week already is Brent Naden, because he had the guts, the courage to call out racial abuse from the sideline in the game, the Warriors and the Panthers. He had the guts to do something after a history in this country, sadly, of people who do that. They're the ones who then cop it. I speak about Adam Goods, but Brent Naden was racially abused, and he said something about it. And those guys were kicked out of the footy ground, and hopefully they will never find themselves inside a football ground again. Now, all those things are now being worked on. Coach Ivan Cleary was asked about it after the game.
It's one of those situations, I guess, that you can only react, you know, how you feel at the time. So whatever was said, and I don't know exactly what was said, it definitely affected him. There'll need to be some sort of investigation that goes into it. After that, our main objective at the moment is just making sure Brent's all right. And he even said he didn't expect it to affect him. He's a bit surprised that he was affected like that. I don't know what that means. I don't know whether that was what was said was something more than he had before. I don't know. Yeah, but he's okay.
MG?
Oh, look, disgusting, deplorable, and totally against everything rugby league stands for. With these guys aren't rugby league supporters who would do that. They've got to be named and shamed and never be allowed back in again. They've got to be made an example of.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm also, as you mentioned before, Tony, I'm just really proud that Brent Naden stood up and said something, particularly being a younger player. He might have thought, oh, should I do this? But I think that also is a reflection upon guys like Cody Walker, Latrell Mitchell, because they have been very vocal over the last 18 months in calling out this type of behaviour. And I mean, Latrell cops a lot of criticism, but for one thing, I think he is a great role model for the Indigenous community. And I think that has encouraged guys like Brent Naden to also stand up and not be afraid to call that out, even if you don't have the profile of someone like Latrell. So, I'm glad that he said something.
We're such an inclusive code, and we showed that 2 weeks ago for, you know, what was one of the rounds that everyone looks forward to in the year, Indigenous round, and it was such a success. And I'm not sure banning is the way to go, Tony. I'm not sure what we're going to get out of banning guys like this from the sport, because I think education's key. I think getting these guys, that are obviously NRL supporters, putting them in a room with Preston Campbell or Dean Witters and sharing experiences and actually trying to get these guys to understand other people and grow. And then maybe, you know, in the group that they're in, because there's a whole group of them, and maybe they can then have an impact on the other people that they're hanging around with that might think similar things. And we can generate some change that way. I don't know if just shutting the door on them is going to really solve any problem. It's a bigger problem than in society than we just have in sport. So, you know, maybe the NRL contact these guys, get them in, and we've got some brilliant Indigenous leaders, some really good ones. And if you haven't spent some time with those guys, do yourself a favour and make the effort to, because they change people's lives, these guys, and they can do it for people like that, because I think education's key in these instances.
That makes great sense, absolute sense. All right, the game itself. The Panthers on the Taipau scoreboard, 18 points to 12 over the Warriors. They did it tough. Started off well, as they always do. Nobody scores against the Panthers in the first 20 minutes.
That's unbelievable.
It's just a rule.
What is it, 12 weeks in a row?
It's just a rule, apparently.
20 minutes, don't try. Just try and stop Penrith scoring, but just don't bother.
Phenomenal. First, they've been in the competition since, 1967? This is the first time that a Panthers side has gone 9 consecutive wins. They are just shaping up beautifully, aren't they, MG?
They are purring. They're absolutely purring. They've got the nucleus of something special. I think when we won the comp in 91, me and Gerds in 2003, there was a really good mix of local juniors with experienced heads. And I think this current side is exactly the same. I think there's 12 players from the starting 17 who have come through the pathway system. Then you add someone like Kikau and Mansell, who both debuted in first grade at Penrith. Then you've got 3 grand final winners in Tarmau and Coruscant and Tedavano, who, personally, when Peter Kelly and Chris Mortimer came to our club from the Bulldogs in the late 80s, they changed everything. They just taught us how to be tough and how to win tough. And sometimes that's all you need as a young junior when people come to your club, like a Tedavano or Coruscant or Tarmau at the moment, and they teach you what it's like to win comps. And I don't know who's going to beat them at the moment. I don't want to put the mock on them, but at the moment they are playing that game last night. They needed something like that. They needed a game of brute. They were tough last night, the Warriors, and they've been tough for a good 4 to 6 weeks under Todd Payton. Penrith had to be tough as well, and they were. They got out. They gritted out a real tough win, and they're looking fantastic.
You weren't upset. We mentioned at the top of the show, of course, the record.
Gerds is bitter. He is. Admit it.
I'm just a bit of human. Yeah. You know? I don't drink on my own yet, but I mean, I could be getting there.
Come on.
You're getting there. But you've got to like what you're seeing.
You've got to be able to, you've got to be able to win in so many different ways to go on and nail a premiership. And they've done that over the last couple of weeks. They're not going to be at their best every week. They struggled to connect a little bit with the football last week. Last week's first half was one of the best I've ever seen by anyone in a Panthers jersey that I've seen or I've witnessed. It was incredible. And they were so connected. Last night, not so much. I think the conditions had something, you know, certainly to play within that. But their short kicking game, some of those kicks, the touch of Nathan Cleary at the moment, they're the hardest kicks to execute in the game. You're 10 or 12 metres out from the opposition's line and you're putting chip kicks in and finding space. I mean, there's no space to find.
Because
and then
there was
going through.
There was 9 repeat sets last night and five different kickers.
This bubble's an interesting.
There's five, like Mansell had 2.
That's true.
Tyrone May had 2.
Yep.
Luai had won. Their sugar kick game is mesmerising. Yeah, you're right.
That detail in their game is what's the difference in winning and losing those games, because the Warriors were resilient last night. This bubble's an interesting thing, Tony, isn't it? I think it really just exaggerates everything for teams, because if you can imagine, you know, when you're winning, you're up and about and you really can't go anywhere else. So you're with these same guys. Now, Penrith have this group of young guys that have come through the system generally together. So they're really tight.
Yep.
So I think that probably gets exaggerated. Those relationships, they're all winning. They can't go out after games and get on the booze like you did when you were young and probably doing the wrong thing and not getting to rehab. And, you know, you're just focused on footy. So they've got a young side, but within the bubble environment, they're easier to control, so to speak. And then if you think at some of the other sides that are struggling, well, they're in the bubble as well and everything's awful.
Yeah.
So imagine how exaggerated their existence would be at the moment. So these guys are just loving life, I can imagine. I mean, they're probably missing that social activity that they get and that you look for when you're a 20, 21-year-old guy. Because after a win like that, we're at Panthers Leagues Club until 4 o'clock. And then you're turning up hungover to rehab and you're probably not doing the right thing by your injuries.
Bottle of red wine by
you're
yourself.
Eating eating the right food that next day, and it's probably working for the Warriors as well at the moment, like we spoke about, without the travel and just with having total control over all the players within the bubble. Some clubs it's really working for, some it's not, but these two clubs that played last night, both thriving at the moment.
I think it does. You mentioned the fact that they're such a tight group. They honestly are. I think it helps that a lot of those Panthers boys are close friends anyway and would hang out a lot outside of footy. And I think that goes back to the fact that a lot of them are juniors. They came through SG Ball together. They played 20s together, won a comp, a lot of them together. Like, you know, blokes like Nathan Cleary and Tyro May, they've both had a really tough 18 months for different reasons, but they're best mates. So I think that also helps. Not to put a dampener on how they're going, but are you worried the fact that they haven't had many major injuries? Really? I mean,
you can't. I thought about
it. If they lose a couple of key players, say like the Raiders or the Roosters have, can they still do what they've been doing?
I think the biggest test for them now is not just managing the workload on the players, because you've seen most of those guys, if you look at, you know, Fisher-Harris and Kikau and Coruscant, they've played the majority of the games this year. And we've seen, whether it's been through injury or through choice from some of the other coaches, that they've chosen to rest players for different periods, obviously now with no split rounds going into final series, whatever. Now, I don't know what Ivan's strategy is going to be moving forward. That's one thing he obviously needs to look at the back end of the season. But also is the other thing, you need to have players ready to play at the back end of the season if you do get those injuries. So, for example, if you've got Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai playing every game, and you just before a finals game, one of them gets hurt, and you haven't got another guy like a Burton that's played in 12 weeks, and you expect him to come perform in a final, it becomes difficult.
Yep.
So I know there's going to be an asterisk over the 2020 season, and with good reason, because it's been different than every other one. But I'm loving it. I really think, holistically, like from a club perspective, the way, if you go on and win the premiership this year, I think it should... I think we'll look back at it in years to come and think that was unbelievable, because some of the different things that you've faced this year and some of the, you know, with roster management,
like
and all
an
those
NFL
sorts of things,
season in terms
it's
of
like
roster
the
management.
Premier League, because you've got 25 players all wanting to play. Now, not only is it about giving those guys, you know, time on the field, but also managing expectation for a 22-year-old guy that thinks he should be playing, and all those relationships, like all the machinations of what that would be like inside that bubble, would be extraordinary to learn about. But I just think this season, from a club perspective, it's such a feather in the cap if you get it done this year.
The Warriors, once again, and you know, and they got scored against early, yet they're a team now, and it's just, we all find it remarkable, because I must admit, I just thought they were going to back end of the season. What are we playing for? Why would we, you know, turn up and give 100% every week? But that's what they do. If you're a fan of the Warriors, they're giving you value for money, MG.
They certainly are, yeah. And look, Perdihiku, I think when we spoke to Todd Payton last week, he mentioned the fact that Perdihiku's family arrived a fortnight ago, and coincidentally his form went through the roof. And the Warriors players must be hurting, not being able to have their family at their beck and call. But as Gerd said, I agree 100% with him. I think the fact that they have been divorced, inverted commas, from their family for this period of time has made them concentrate on one thing that matters, and that's the rugby league side of it. They don't have to jump on a plane every second week and go to another country. They don't have to go through customs. They don't have to get their passports and worry about signing papers on a plane. they just go back to Terrigal. They get ready for the next game, and I think it's working for them. I think it's helping them in bringing consistent footy to the field, and they're playing tough. Last night Nikorima was great. You can single out, you know, five or six of their players who have come of age in this last month or so. But I think it's the coach who has to take the biggest pat in the back. Todd Payton, he seems so cool, calm and collected, but he's also that guy who you would imagine puts his arm around the players when he has to and says, come in, I'll give you a cuddle. And that's a really delicate mix when you've got a team like he's got. And most coaches, that's their biggest obstacle, when to be harsh and when to be firm and when to be careful and caring.
That's what everyone who's been, well, some players that have been coached by Todd Payton say. He's got that ability because he understands that, most importantly, you're a human being. You're not just a footy player, and he's able to try and, you know, he's got that ability and that knack to work out, okay, maybe you need a cuddle today or tomorrow you might need to kick up the button, that type of thing. So he's able to be your friend when you need that, but he's also not afraid to, you know, be a disciplinarian and that type of thing. And that's the, I guess, one of the biggest challenges with some coaches can be too tough. Maybe others, some say, you know, Wayne Bennett, some might say he's best mates with the players and can be too far one way. But I think everyone seems to have a rap on Todd Payton and say that he's really got that balance. So I think he's done a tremendous job. And I love the fact that he's just really refreshing, I think, in all of the media conferences, you know, no lies.
Yep,
with that, we spoke to him last week and he said the fact that he had done an interview with NRL 360 on Fox and then called back, wanted to do it again because he wasn't 100% truthful, and that just didn't sit well with him. And I just find that, totally refreshing.
So refreshing, isn't it? Yeah.
It gives you a really good indication of where they're at there. And Brownie's not walking into a rebuild next year.
No.
You know, and a lot of people have been saying someone needs to go over there and, you know, tear the place down and start again, but he certainly doesn't. They've got some talented players there. They need one or two forwards and maybe a couple of backs, and they've obviously gone about and signed some guys over the last couple of weeks, so they're proactive in the market.
Try scoring machine Kane Evans. Yeah. Yes.
they obviously need to make sure they keep hold of Roger because he's irreplaceable to what they do over there. Because he's their most important guy, and you've got some good young fullbacks coming through, but he's on the same level as Tedesco, whereas, you know, he gives you, out of your 26 weeks a year, he gives you 24 good performances and two where he might struggle to get into the contest. And that's what they need from their leaders. But the young halves are doing a really good job. Saw some great things from Harris DeVita last night.
What about that?
So good. That was scary.
On Liam Martin.
It was terrific.
When your halfback's leaving the line to make... And Nathan Cleary did it earlier in the year. I forget which team it was against. I think it was Cowboys. He put a hit on someone, then put a hit on Cohen Hess, and the whole team lifted, and they didn't look like they were going to get beat from then. Well, young Harris last night done the same type of thing, and that, as a forward, you love your halfback being that tough.
Who was running around when you were in number seven when you were at your peak?
Brandy,
yeah, okay. Did Brandy run out of the line a lot?
No, Brandy's the best. Well, that, back then it was the second line of defence.
Yes.
You had the halfback behind the front line and the fullback was behind the halfback. So if it got through to Brandy, he'd kind of jump in the tackle and do the old coding as around the, they don't run without eyes type thing. But,
I
think Joey kind of changed the way halfbacks defend. Joey became that lock forward type defender and you wouldn't run at him as a second row because you knew he was the first halfback that, you know, people stopped running at. And I think halfbacks have evolved since then.
All right, just a reminder that type our scoreboard. The Panthers over the Warriors, 18 points to 12. A little bit later in the show, we will be joined by Appy Korosau to get his take on that game. We mentioned before injuries. They are on the rise. Why? That's next. Saturday Scrum. Thanks.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
MG Ryan Girdler. Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you. Injuries, there's been plenty of them this season. Certainly when you look at the Storm and the Roosters game the other night, Cam Smith was already out injured. Cameron Murray was injured. The Roosters have plenty out. And then they copped a hideous injury toll during that game. Luke Keary heading off to hospital. He's got a rib fractured in two places. Mitchell Orbison, who we thought suddenly, given he was going for the record this year in terms of the number of games played for the Roosters.
So is he on contract next year, Tony, or not?
Well, his contract finishes this season.
This year,
okay, there, this season. But first it was suspected it was a wrist break, a fracture, and he would be out. But it seems now it's a ligament, a wrist ligament.
In the wrist.
Yeah, and that it's a five-week injury, so he will probably come back in time to still go for that record. So there's plenty of injuries. So the questions are being asked about why does it appear that there are so many injuries this season, and all the sharpest brains in the business are getting around it and trying to work out exactly
what are they saying.
Please tell me.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. Look, I'll hold that thought. That's a bit of a tease. Let's first hear from, well, certainly one of the sharpest tools in the shed in terms of Craig Bellamy. This is what he had to say about injury post-game.
We decided we want some fatigue in the game, but I'm not quite sure whether there's too much fatigue at the moment with the amount of teams that have got a lot of injuries. And I mean, you know, a lot of injuries. And it's not just about fatigue and soft tissue injuries. It's about when people get fatigued, you know, they start putting their bodies in the wrong places to make contacts or to make tackles. And then that's where you get, you know, injured from there. So I think it's something we probably need to have a little look at. But it was like a mash unit out there tonight. There was blokes getting, you know, hurt left, right and centre.
That's interesting.
But the counter argument to that is, you know, they wanted to, I mean, we've been talking about reducing the interchange now for years. Yep. And they wanted more fatigue brought in the game. And they said, oh, but with more fatigue comes more injury, which is basically what Bellyache's saying there. But the counter argument is that, well, then you take the freshness out of the big guys who are coming on and running at the guys that are fatigued, so yep, that everyone's sort of more on a lot of the injuries are impact injuries when you've got a 115-kilo guy coming off the bench after 25 minutes and running at a guy that's 90 kilos and he's already done 25 minutes and 15 tackles.
Yeah, exactly.
There's the argument too, it may not just be the speed of the game and the rule changes. Take into account the fact that they only had 3 weeks to prepare because they had that big break. Mm-hmm. So maybe were their bodies ready? Also the travelling in and out interstate
on the day.
I mean, I guess even though some sides are saying they don't mind that, the fact that their rest and their recovery changes, because think about how much sleep really, getting to sleep at those right times really plays a role in recovery. So there's probably a lot of factors that come into it.
Probably also, Tony, the fact that the game's gone away from all those structured set pieces and so where people's bodies probably get used to moving in certain ways and in certain patterns, and now it's a little bit... let's just say it's not as regulated,
yeah,
so they
random.
Find themselves in different positions, and under fatigue, they're making decisions that they probably haven't been in the last couple of years.
Phil Rothfield has written the story in the Telegraph today. He talks about all those things that you mentioned in terms of the travel, the interstate flights, all of that stuff, and that pace of the game with the new rule. But the no buys or standalone Origin weekends as well, in terms of rest, and the lack of additional high performance facilities outside of the bubble. All of those things, MG, you can see them; they will add up.
Oh, of course. And I think it's just one of them years. We've got to bite down on our mouth guard, so to speak, and just tough it out, because it's you know, obviously there is a lot more injuries, a lot more concussions. But I think the calibre of footy we're seeing is a lot more attractive. Obviously, there's a few blowouts that we wouldn't like seeing, and the ratings will back that up in saying that the viewer doesn't like seeing a blowout either. But as far as rugby league goes, I think this post-COVID 10 weeks that we've seen has just been refreshing to see rugby league with attrition.
Totally agree.
I grew up watching rugby league with attrition when the scariest bloke on the footy field was the halfback 5 or 10 minutes before each half finished. And it's got back to that. It's got back to the little guy in the game starts to have a bit of power once again. And I'm all for it. I hate seeing people injured. I hate seeing blokes losing their livelihood for an extended period of time, but is that the collateral damage that goes along with making the game more attractive?
Yep. Well, you're right. Bite down on the mouth guard. I've been having to do that. I've got a bit of arthritis in my thumb, so that remote control.
You've been watching Pulp Fiction. That's a Lotto ball. Yeah. That's the Lotto ball. Get the gimp out. Come on. Bring him.
The remote control is very, very painful on that. We're going to play 3 and 5 next on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
And Em, did you go with the cold shower to try to recover from the bottle of red wine last night?
Bottle of red wine.
Did you start with the cold shower?
I did. I woke up and I thought the best thing will be the cold shower. So I did the cold shower for breathing exercises first, got in the cold shower, 3 or 4 minutes, then straight to get a long black, and I was... good as new.
Wow.
Well, let us be the judge of that.
A long black or a long neck? Hair of the dog? Oh, yeah. Come on.
Do you go full cold shower? You don't go hot shower, then go for the blast of cold at the end?
Straight in. Straight in cold. I do some, 10 breaths beforehand. Wim Hof. Everyone look it up. Wim Hof.
Is there a structure to that breathing, or is it just breathing?
Yeah, so it's in through your nose, and then it's a quick out. So as much oxygen in as you can, but just as a very quick, abrupt out.
Oh, so you're retaining oxygen.
Yeah, you're trying to oxygenate your body before you go in.
Okay.
And, it's all about... activating that parasympathetic nervous system.
There you go.
I sound so smart, don't I?
Yeah. Well, let's see how smart you are. Let's play this.
Ladies and gentlemen, 3 in 5.
I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 in 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
3 in 5. 3 in 5. Simple operation. I ask questions, 3 answers you have to come up with. The only problem is you only have 5 seconds in which to do it. Ryan Girdler, are you ready to go? I'll start with you. Dean Young now joins the nominees for the Dally Am Interim Coach of the Year. Name three others.
Toddy Payton, Dean Young... what's his name?
That's the thing about this beautiful quiz. It's so easy.
Josh Hannay,
Steve Georgialis, Todd Payton.
Gerds, were you doing a bit of breathing just before that? It seemed like he was just relaxing himself.
He's just in zen state. Yeah.
All right, let's go with you, MG.
Okay,
name 3 players who have been on loan to the Warriors.
Jack Hetherington.
That's
George,
one.
George Jennings.
Yes. 2.
Daniel Alvaro.
Oh, yeah. Bam, bam, bam. That's without any 3. Breathing or cold showers. Mm. All right,
no,
Emma Lawrence.
Cold shower.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
I just said, give me a hot paint away bath any day of the week. Ding, ding.
All right.
Is that you?
That's me. I snorted. I'm sorry.
No,
I apologize. George Costanza. My Emma, get up to the microphone now. Ready to speak.
I can't speak.
This is perhaps the most important 3 in 5 question of all time, particularly this year, and particularly with your problems at the moment. Name the 3 spirits in a Negroni.
It's Aperol. I suck.
What's Aperol? Well.
Damn it.
Gin, vermouth, and Campari.
I don't know why. Yeah, that's the Campari. One of my great friends who works at Fox
K-Car.
You're on radio.
Very chatty today.
Yes, you know, people are listening to what
drunk.
You're saying. Charlie, breath tester, please. Breath tester, please. Just, yep. You've got that swab, yep, as well. Thanks.
We'll come back to that.
No, it's okay. She loves, what's the drink?
Bloody Negroni.
Mary.
Yes. Negroni.
She loves those, so she'd be very disappointed. I'll just stick to my bottle of red. Don't worry about that.
Give her a shout out.
I gave her a shout out.
Honestly, she'd be disappointed on so many levels. We've got plenty to come. Tyson Frizzell joins us very shortly on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.